Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Cynthia from Vital Tribe. Welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. We are so happy to be with you tonight, another Wedding Wednesday, where we are talking about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. Tonight, of course, we are focusing on family and family business. In fact, this whole month has been completely about business. We started the month off speaking with Lakeisha Womack of Womack Consulting Group. We talked about money matters, and that was a great show. We next talked with Ms. Pache Burson of Uniku Jewelry. She talked about crafting your business and turning your passions into profits. Last week, we spoke with Makaysha Dorsey, the wonderful Makaysha Dorsey of the Dorsey Group, about public relations and the needs of your business and so on and so on. And every week just gets better and better. If you miss any of the shows, please, you are welcome to go to our archives and listen to what our special guest had to say. Tonight, we are focusing on creating the job of your dreams, and not just your job, but creating the business of your dreams with our special guest, Lyman Montgomery of LM Success Network. We're so happy to have him with us tonight, and I hope that you have your pen, your paper, and all of your listening devices ready to really take down some notes, because it's going to be an awesome show full of, chock full of wonderful, wonderful information. Now, if you're like me, you know how I do it. I have my tea here ready. I love peppermint tea. It's my favorite to have when we're sitting here doing the show. I've got my little fuzzy socks on so I can be comfortable. It is cold outside, ladies and gentlemen. It seems to be cold all over the U.S., so I hope everyone is staying safe and warm. So buckle in, warm up. Let's get ready to have a great show, because it is going to be a good one. First, let's just go ahead and welcome our guest. I'm so happy to have him on tonight. Lyman, are you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful, wonderful. How you doing?
Cold, but you know I'm burning up on the inside.
I don't think that's right. That means you should be raining somewhere on your body if you're cold on the outside. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom. I'm so happy to have you on tonight.
It is a pleasure to be with you.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know what? And before we get started, I always forget to do this. I don't know why I forget to do this. I usually do. For all of you who are listening via the internet, welcome, welcome. We love to have you. If you would like to call in and listen by phone, the number is 347-996-3160. If you have a question or a comment about the show, feel free to press the number 1 to let us know that you would like to speak. But wait until about 10 o'clock, because we really want to get into things and have something for you to ask questions about. So, Lyman, why don't you go ahead and start off telling us who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm native of Dayton, Ohio, president of Lyman Gurman Success Network, which is a leadership coaching consulting firm. As far as professionally, I am the head of employer relations and training at Indiana University, an ordained elder, certified mediation professional, and I enjoy training and developing and coaching. That's it in a nutshell. That's who I am. That's what I do.
Good, and that's a whole lot right there anyway. So we're going to kind of push away some of that, because we could actually talk about all of it, but we're going to go into the coaching aspect of what it is that you do in order to help individuals who are creating businesses really bring success to what they're doing, not just success, but legacy to what they're doing. We had a nice chat earlier on today, and we talked about so many great things, and I can't wait to share them, because I think that they're so important. In your training and development and developing and coaching, you said a few things. You know, you made it a point to let us know that we are representatives of our business.
Yes.
And not only are we representatives of our businesses, but we have to find a way to add value, bring credibility to what it is that we do. And you have certain principles that you talked about that you put in acronyms. And I definitely want to get into those because I think those are going to just basically take up the whole show.
Sure.
I'm not even going to waste any time. I know that those are going to, we don't even have to banter about any other anything else. We're going to have you on for a second show at some point. But tonight, let's talk about those acronyms because I think that those are going to be the most helpful for this particular topic.
Sure. One of the things that we were talking about earlier that I think your listening audience would benefit from is when it comes to starting a business or even if you have a business, whether that be a brick-and-mortar business, a consulting business, or if you're thinking about starting a business, there's a couple of acronyms that I put in place, and one of them is called FOCUS, F-O-C-U-S. And it's a series of questions that when I meet with clients, especially those who are interested in my coaching program, and they say, well, Lyman, I'm thinking about starting a business. I have a passion for flowers, be a florist or something. The first question I'll ask them is this: what do you do better than your competition? And how do you know that you do it better? If when I think of you, what comes to mind? That's your foundation. So the F is foundation. What is the core of who you are and what it is that you're looking to promote? The O is opportunities. How are you promoting your foundation? Always promote from a position of strength, never from a position of weakness. Oftentimes I speak with folks, and they say, well, I want to start a business. You know, I'm not good at math. And they start telling me a list of negatives. Scratch that. Tell me the positive things that you're doing. And C is for creativity. What creative marketing or ideas are you using to attract new customers, but more importantly, retain current customers? And then the utilization of resources. Do you have the resources needed to expand, update, and strengthen your business? And finally, the S is system. Have you developed a system of excellence throughout your organization, throughout your business, throughout your practice? So again, we start with focus, foundation, opportunities, creativity, utilization of resources, and eventually you get to a system.
Okay. Now that you've broken it down, I want to slow it down, especially, you know, for people like me. People like myself need it slowed down just a bit because when you talk about foundation, I need you to tell us what you mean. When you said that if you're interested in starting a floral business, what would the foundation be? Can it just be that I just love putting together flowers? Let's really get into foundation.
Sure. Let's drill down. If you were a client who came to me, and we use the example of a floral business, floral arrangement, to be more specific, okay? Mm-hmm. When I ask the question, what is it that you do that you feel that you can do better than your competition? What I'm looking for is what competencies do you have or have you learned or gain through experience? Have you worked in a flower shop before? Do you know anything about horticulture? Or do you just like looking at flowers? And so we really try to drill down to get that individual to realize that I have to spend twice as much time preparing and putting together, when I talk about a founder, I'm talking about your business plan, putting together that structure, that system, the foundation that's going to support your business. There's an old adage, the deeper the foundation, the stronger the structure. The more shallow the foundation, the weaker the structure. You know, there's a great biblical verse that says there were two men. One built his house on a rock, the other built it upon the sand. And so when the storm came, he who built his house upon the sand was left homeless. But the one who took the time, added up the cost to dig deep and establish his foundation was able to withstand the storms of life. And in any business, you're going to have storms. Storms will come. You will have times of plenty, but you will also have times of recession. It is part of the growth business cycle. So that's what I mean when I talk about foundation.
Wonderful. So you know, just to say it another way, it's okay to have a passion for what it is that you're looking to go into business with, but you have to have something to really build on. And that includes the knowledge, going to get the education about what type of business that you're opening, understanding the finances of it, understanding the legalities of it, and all of those different things. Is that what we're really talking about when it comes
That's
to foundation?
That's what we're really talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. Having a strong structure, a legal foundation, are you, should you incorporate? If so, what type of incorporation? LLC, S-Corp, 4-Corp? Are you even authorized to start a business? Maybe you want to start one in your home. Do you have the proper permits to do so? I had a person once that wanted to start a group home in his home without going through the local jurisdiction to get the proper permit. That's how long it lasted. 1 month. He was in business for 1 month before the city shut him down because he did not do his due diligence to making sure he had the number one, he was zoned for that. So all of that is part of the foundation. Before you accept the first dollar, you must make sure that your foundation is sure, and that's legal compliance, making sure that you have an accountant, making sure you have a bookkeeper, making sure that you have a marketing person or marketing plan.
Excellent. Excellent. We talked a little bit about marketing and everything last week that it doesn't necessarily take a firm or a marketing person, but even if you just talk to someone who can give you advice or use a marketing person per project in order to help you really get the word out there about what you're doing, that's an option for you. So definitely be in compliance, due diligence, and make sure that, you know, your passion doesn't overrule these things so that you end up shutting everything down before it really gets started.
Yeah. One of the things I tell people, the difference between a forest fire and an oven fire is the structure in which it's contained in. Passion is the fire. But without having a structure, you will end up destroying the very thing you're trying to create, because passion must be harnessed and it must be contained and control. So passion alone is good. It's the motivator. It'll keep you up. It'll allow you to go the extra distance. But without having a structure to hold the flame, you will burn out and destroy yourself and others in the process.
Well, I don't have anything else to say behind that when it comes to foundation. You tied that up real nice and pretty, put a bow on it and all. So let's move on to the O, which was opportunities. Let's talk about opportunities. What kind of opportunities should a person look for once they understand that they want to be in business, that they're creating this business? What opportunities are we looking for?
Let's stay with the floral design business. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have the proper zoning papers. You have the permits. You decide to be a limited liability corporation or LLC. Okay, now you got all the foundation. You say, Mr. Montgomery, I got the foundation, I got my business plan, it looks great, but I'm stuck. It's on paper. What do I do now? Now we look for opportunities to promote what it is you're doing. And we're talking about that, looking for your supply channels. Who's going to supply you? Okay, how are you going to get your product? How are you going to sell? Are you going to use a sales force? Are you going to sell via internet? Are you going to have a team of folks that you pay a commission to sell? All those are opportunities to help you promote. It's different than marketing. Opportunities is just that. How many opportunities are there? And you may end up with some brainstorming exercises that a person may end up with. The average client I work with will come up with between 50 and 100 opportunities to promote their business, okay? Now, will all of them work? Not necessarily, but it's part of the exercise is to get them to thinking. For example, the floral business. Well, let's see. Maybe you might use word of mouth. You might go to trade shows. You might put up flyers. You might partner with funeral homes, nursing homes, you might partner with some type of bridal company, but any company or any organization that deals with floral arrangement, those are opportunities to promote. So that's what I mean when I talk about looking for opportunities to promote your foundation. or promote what it is that you're doing.
I totally agree. Recently, some friends and I had a wonderful conversation about strategic partnerships, about how it's not something that is really taught in school. You know, we do them in everyday life. We use them, but we don't realize that we're using them and that it actually has a name. So strategic partnering is an excellent opportunity, one of the excellent opportunities that really needs to be talked about. You mentioned it a little bit when you said, like, you know, I'm a bridal company, I'm a bridal magazine. I like teaming up with floral shops because they want to talk about what it is that they do. I want them to talk about what it is they do. So it's a symbiotic relationship where we can actually back each other up, support each other, and be able to really boost each other forward because we're creating this strategic partnership.
Now, exactly.
Since you're talking about these opportunities and we're discussing strategic partnerships, can you go a little bit into how to really utilize opportunities? Because a strategic partnership is something that kind of should be planned. You know what I mean? We shouldn't just say, hey, I need you to write a blog for me and I'll write a blog for you. How do you come together with opportunities or partnerships and really sit down to map them out in order to make sure that they're used in a way that that really helps both companies, that really benefits both companies?
Sure. When we talk about opportunities, especially a strategic partnership, there are three major components. The first one is a mutual understanding of what it is you're going to do and what it is that I'm going to do. That needs to be spelled out in writing. It's called a memoranda of understanding, or MOU, okay? It's a simple document. You can do it yourself. You don't have to necessarily pay for an attorney to do it, but most people do. And it basically says we're going to enter into a limited partnership, might be a real small joint venture, maybe a project. Let's say, for example, we're going to go to a trade show, and we're going to share the cost of a booth, okay? And you're going to promote your business. I'm going to promote my business, and we draw up something. So, number one, there has to be a mutual understanding that's outlined in a memo of understanding. Second, it has to make sense. And too often, I'm approached and other consultants and people that do what we do as far as training, development, and coaching, we get presented with 1,000 opportunities. One was, for example, hey, Lyman, I got this great deal. Why don't we partner? And they wanted me to sell vitamins. Okay? Do I have a passion for vitamins? No. Am I against vitamins? No. But it didn't make sense. It didn't fall into strategically what I was doing. Okay? Now, what ended up happening, I said, well, I will try. I'll become a customer. So oftentimes it might be a situation where it doesn't make sense at the moment because maybe that person is three steps ahead or maybe you're still formulating ideas. So it has to make sense. Number one, if you're going to do business, it has to be outlined in writing. Number two, it must make sense where both parties benefit. And third and most crucial, is it has to be something that both of you can walk away with a feeling of mutual respect. Too often, you've heard people say this, and it's true, never go in business with friends or family because the problem is not in creating, it's when it dissolves and how it dissolves. So you have to have a plan of how are we going to dissolve this strategic partnership. And I think those are critical.
Right, so that means that we really should have an exit strategy. Not only should you have a strategy for becoming a partner or getting into a partnership, but you also have to have an exit strategy about how it will resolve.
How it will resolve itself or dissolve, or if it will. You know, maybe it's an agreement that says, you know what, we will come together once a year, okay? Every year they have this conference, and we're going to partner. We both benefit. We both enjoy doing it. But there has to be something that says what happens in a year where the other party cannot make it. Are they still held liable for 50% of the cost? Mm-hmm. That needs to be laid out. And generally, problems erupt when a person tries to get out of an agreement, whether it be verbal or written, and the other person feel that they're still left on the toe for some financial responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you said a really, really bad word that some people don't like to hear, and that is that is responsibility. Because
yes.
As much fun as this can be, and now remember now, Lyman is really talking about creating a business not just for success, but the business of your dreams. And when you're creating something or building a dream, there is a lot of responsibility involved, but you can still really enjoy yourself with it and have a lot of fun. So when it comes to the old portion of this, of opportunities, creating partnerships, creating strategies, let's really understand that there are going to be responsibilities, not just to the business, but to the communication portion of your partnership. Go into a little bit about that, because communication is the area where sometimes we really get lost.
And that leads us to the third part, the creativity. Generally, when you look at partnerships and businesses, especially when there are two or more persons, there's always one person that tends to be very creative, okay? And then there's the other person that tends to be more foundational, logical thinker, nuts and bolts, okay? And the one feels like, okay, this guy's over. All he thinks about are these lofty ideas, but isn't willing to sit down and really think them through. And so communication is key. But the most important part about communication is, are we speaking the same language? Okay? Are we hearing the same thing? So number one, when I say are we speaking the same language, am I using terminology that's foreign to you? If I'm using terms such as, have you completed this performa? Do you know how to do a cost-benefit analysis? Let's look at the PERC chart, a Gantt chart. And I'm looking at you saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. It creates conflict, okay? Mm-hmm. So we have to agree, let's use language that we both understand, okay, and that we both are able to speak intelligently about. Understanding that we have different ways of communicating. Some people, and we get more into learning style. You know, some people are more visual, some are audio, some are kinesthetic. And so you have to figure out what works for the two of you. There's a saying in the scripture that says, iron sharpens iron. There's going to be some friction at first, but keep working together and you will smooth each other out. But you have to be willing to communicate. You have to be willing to say, you know what, I know. And also give people a pass. You know, sometimes people will say something and say, well, he's offensive, you know. Sometimes you say, you know what, I don't like when you say it that way. I know you don't mean it. I charge it to your head, not to your heart. But I would prefer that when we do business that we lay out some terms, how we will communicate. Some people, they say, I want to meet all the time. And you may have someone say, look, just send me a text or an email. Somebody else will say, I hate email. So all of those are part of the communication channels that has to be worked out before you decide to go in business. Are you an email person? Do you prefer text? Do you prefer meetings? If we meet, how long? Structure meeting, formal versus informal. All that needs to be laid out.
Nice. Okay, so that means that when you're coming together, you mentioned a memoranda of understanding. The memoranda of understanding is going to be the tool that you use in order to
lay out all of that, exactly.
Nice. Okay, so you touched on opportunities. Let's go straight for creativity. You already began talking about creativity. Let's go deeper into it. What is the creative part of using this in order to analyze your business? How do you use creativity to analyze your business?
Creativity is the brainchild of great innovation. And what tends to happen, you know, if you take a child, I always say if you want to learn how to market, get a bunch of kids in the room to look at what it is you're trying to do and get their opinions. So they're going to be blunt, honest, okay? Because one thing about a child is they still have that creative sense of creating new worlds, all right? Mm-hmm. Something mm-hmm. happened when we become adults. We have this filter called logic. And the first thing logic says, that won't work, okay? And what I try to get my clients and those whom I coach to understand, I use what's called an empty room analogy. I say, imagine you bought a house. The house is empty. How would you furnish this house? What do you want in the house? Begin to dream, regardless if you can or cannot afford it. You have been given $1 billion. What would go in that house? That's what I mean about creativity. Will you put every crazy, imaginative, innovative idea on a board? You don't take anything off. You leave it there, and then you realize, after a while, you say, you know what, this is far to the left, this is far to the right, but maybe if we move this a little bit to the center and this one a little bit to the right, this might work. You know why? Because I've already put together an opportunity. So you might get an idea that says, okay, why don't we put up a billboard for our floral shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine,
mm-hmm.
you know what? I know someone that is looking to get their contract on their billboard is up in 2 months, okay? Or they're going out of business. They still got 4 months on their billboard. Maybe we can go and talk to Jim, let's say, and he might rent us or sublet his space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you just cancel out the ideas and that's stupid. Oh, that won't work. Put everything out there and work your way back. What mm-hmm. I mean by work your way back is you start with the low-hanging fruit. Okay, what can we do immediately? What can we do maybe not today, but maybe 6 months from now? Well, we might not be able to get a billboard in 6 months, but maybe a year from now. You might have ideas that will not come into fruition for 5 years, but that's okay. It's just like GM, when they be buying a car. You know, when they do a concept car, that concept car might be created today, but it won't end up in production probably 2 or 3 years later. And you have to think like that. What mm-hmm. I create today is not for today, but for the future.
Nice.
And that's what I mean by creativity.
Nice, very nice. So we're not going to just keep creativity to, if we're talking about a floral shop, we're not just talking about the floral design or the things that you can do with flowers, but about the creativity of letting people know about your business, seeking out opportunities that may not be as what we deem normal business practices, but still, of course, within the law. But you want to get creative about how you tell people about who you are, about how to find you, about the things that you're doing. So that creativity, you summed that up nicely too. Very nice.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to take risks. And that's a major downfall that I see a lot of business. They go into the marketing or the creativity aspect already with a defeated attitude. Well, it won't work. I don't have the money. I don't know anyone that I can partner with. And you're trying to change that paradigm to, you know what, just go back to if you were a five-year-old. You know, when the teacher said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a police. Well, I want to be a doctor. Well, I want to be a teacher. Go back to that, mentally go back to that stage, that phase of your life, and dream again.
Yes, and dream big. Dream big. Yes. Okay. Now, over to utilization of resources.
This is where you pull it all together. Remember I said you got all these great ideas on the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you start looking at, now you start working your way back. Now you start looking at, okay, what do I need to make this happen? Okay, who do I need in my inner circle? Who do I know that I can, you know, shadow with, not necessarily partner with? Who can be a mentor? And that's another key word. Who can be a mentor to me or a coach? Do I need to develop professionally? Maybe I need to take a seminar on how to market my business. Maybe I need to go to some workshops. Maybe I need to really do some research and look at some crazy, unique, innovative ways of getting the word out to attract customers and also by all the business to retain customers. You know, the days of Henry Ford said you can have any color you want as long as it's black is done away with.
Okay. Well, what I like about what you're saying is, you know, when I think about how I utilize my resources, resources are not necessarily things. They can be things or people. And I have my accountability partners around me all the time. We didn't know that's what we were. Once again, you know, we didn't know that's what we were. But that was what we were doing. I have ambassadors, like the Bridal Tribe ambassadors are always sending me stuff. Oh, you got it. There's a new designer out. You need to go visit her page or his page. Take a look at this shoe color. Go over here. Like, I'm always being told what to do. You think that you're in control, but sometimes you really aren't.
No, no, you're not. And you know what's interesting, and I share this with you. I'm an author of a book. And a year and a half or so, about 2 years ago when I was writing the book, one of my partners who's a pastor, I kept telling him about this book. I would tell him about chapter one, chapter five. And he got so sick and tired. He said, Lyman, don't tell me another thing about the book. Put the book in my hand. Because I kept talking about it. Every month, I'm talking about what's going on in chapter three. What's going on? He said, man, listen, I'm sick and tired of you talking about the book. Don't mention it until you put it in my hand. But you know, I got that fire to burn. I said, you know what? I got to stop talking about it and really be about it. That's what young people say.
Yes, yes, it's true. It's so very true. And you have those people on the outside of you who continue to kind of push you forward out of just your speaking about the dream. You actually have to now begin to execute on it, and they want to see it. And they're willing to help.
You know what push stands for, right? You know what push stands for. Until success happens.
Yes.
Push. And people really do that. They will push you into your success.
It really is very, very true. One of the things that I always tease them about is when they start telling me things or sending me places or say, you have to go here, you have to do this. And I say, listen, I didn't sign up for all this bullying. And then I go, oh, wait. Maybe I did. Hold on. I think I did. And they all laugh at me. They go, yeah, you did when you got into this accountability partnership with us. You signed up for us to push you around and bully you. And I'm like, darn, I didn't see that in the you know, the little writing. You know, somebody should have somebody should have warned me. So, no, it's great. Please realize, listeners, that your resources cannot just be things. It can be people. You have to really build the ambassadors around you who are going to push you further into your business, at least for you enjoying the part of the business that you are going after. So the fifth part was system. Could you just define that first before we get into it? Define what systems are when it comes to business.
A system, the simplest way to think of a system is to think in terms of any type of successful franchise, okay, in which you can know absolutely nothing about the business. They will send you through their core knowledge, all right? And at the end of coming out of that, you will know how to do it their way. So when I talk about a system, when you put the foundation, opportunity, creativity, utilization of resources, you are, in essence, developing a system, a way of thinking, a way of doing. It is your kung fu. It is your way of life. It is the way you think. It is the guiding principles. It is your mission statement. It is your vision statement. All of that collectively put together becomes your system. And the great thing about a system is that you know you have a system that works if it's transferable and transportable.
Yes.
If I can take my system from Dayton and be successful, transport it to Indiana, Chicago, wherever, make the necessary modification because the markets are a little different. Okay, but the essence of what I do remains the same. That is a system. That's why successful businesses have a system. They have a set of protocols. They have a set of policies. I don't care if you are a one-person shop. You still need to have a policy and procedure manual for how you operate your business. Mm-hmm. Because you got to think this way. We talk about thinking big. If you go into business thinking, I'm just a one-person operation, you will forever be a one-person operation. But if you go into it thinking, you know what, I am a multinational conglomerate, and it's my job as CEO, janitor, and dishwasher, mm-hmm. and human resource manager,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be that at times. You know what I did when we first started out. Man, we were doing everything.
Yes. Yeah, I'm still doing everything. That's why I'm so tired. It's true. Yes, when we talked about systems, because, again, I had another conversation with a couple of friends about what it is to really create a system for your business. And you really, you know, you said all the right words. You said protocol, policy, procedures, and I'm going to throw in another one, controls. What are
yes,
your controls?
Big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we're talking, let's go back to the flower shop, just so that our listeners will understand. If we're talking about a flower shop, what's something that you would consider to be a protocol, a policy, and a procedure?
For example, what is your return policy? Or when I talk about return policy, let's say a customer orders an arrangement of flowers, right? And they get there and they say, oh my God, they're wilted. What is your policy for that customer bringing those flowers, that arrangement back and saying, hey, you know, these were delivered and look at them, they're dead. Do you say, well, sorry for your luck, you probably had them in the sun. Or do you say, you know what, I apologize, pick out another arrangement of equal or equal value, and you know what, I can go better than that. I will add value to that because, you know what, I apologize. Here's a, maybe they pay, let's say, $150. You know what? I'm going to give you $50 back. I'm sorry. That's what
right.
I mean when I talk about. That's like a protocol. Maybe you have something in place where a referral program that says, mm-hmm. hey, if you refer two or three people to me, guess what? Your next arrangement, you get 15% off. If you're a veteran, maybe have Veterans Day and say, if you're a veteran of the United States Armed Forces, bring in your military ID, and you know
yes.
what? You get a carnation on the house.
Yes, yes, and that's actually part of controls. When we talk about controls, if you can't just let anybody walk in and say, I'm a veteran. That
no,
means that they have to walk in with a specific ID that, and maybe you want to take a copy of that ID. You know, those are your controls so that when you go back next year or maybe just a few months down the line, or if you come and get audited, controls are really about auditing yourself or auditing
yeah.
your business. If you audit yourself at the end of the year, you can go back and say, was it always a veteran or did we get scammed? Well, hold on.
Right.
Let's go take a look at the controls. The controls say they had to bring in an ID. The controls said that we had to make a copy of that ID. And, you know, and so on and so on. So you have to have procedures and controls put in place in order to create a system for your business to work well. And so when your business is working well, it is truly your dream business.
And as we say at church, let the church say amen.
That's right.
Something else we talk about control, and this is what I caution businesses that are rapidly growing. There's a concept that you learn in business school called controlled growth. How do you expand your business? There has to be controls that you grow at the right rate.
Yes.
Because you can grow so fast that you can grow yourself out of business. Now, how does that happen? I never forget I was doing some consulting for a company years ago, and they were doing a great job. They were just growing by leaps and bounds, but they maintained a real small sales force. And so what happened, more orders were coming in. Guess what? They were taxing that sales force. They didn't want to bring in new reps because they didn't want to spend the time to train them nor the money Well, eventually two of their top-selling reps felt burnt out, resigned, and quit. When that happens, sales continue to come in, and then all of a sudden now you got five people trying to do the work of seven people, and eventually another person said, you know what, you're not giving me any help, I quit. And you can see the snowball effect of piling all that work on a small sales force because they didn't have a control plan of how they would grow their growth and expansion.
Yes.
And eventually, they couldn't get orders out. Sales reps was making promises. They didn't have the back-end support to deal with complaints. And so people eventually said, you know what, we're going to go somewhere else.
Right, because now what you're doing is because you lack control, you lack quality.
You lack quality. And, you know, it was what's called diminished return on your investment. It just, you're making great, you got money coming in, but at the same time that you have an increase in profit, you have on the opposite side an increase in complaints. And pretty soon those complaints are going to turn into negative sales and cancellations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to stop you right there because we have a caller on the line. and I know we could go on. I know this is going to be one of those shows, everyone, that goes over time. It's clear already that it's going to go over time. And I'm not surprised because we normally do. It's supposed to be a one-hour show. I always end up doing like a 90-minute show because the callers are like, oh, no, you got to keep talking. I love everything that you're saying. So, Lyman, I hope you're ready to go a little bit over time tonight because we're only
– I'm ready.
Okay, great. All right, so I'm bringing in a caller right now. And for all of the others, if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-996-3160. Press the number one to let us know that you'd like to make a comment or if you have a question. Now, I'm bringing in a caller right now. The last four digits of your phone number are 4159. Please do introduce yourself to us tonight. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom. You are on the air.
Hi, this is Kesey. I'm from Brunswick, Georgia. I want to say I'm the owner and founder of Essence Rain Bath & Peak, and what I do is I make organic bath and body goods. But I just want to say that I am hungry for what you just talked about. I've been looking and looking and looking and trying to find this type of wisdom, and it's like I've had people come and take advantage of me. I've had someone who was supposed to help me with marketing. I had one of those scratch-your-head moments when she put my products in a shoe store. And I'm like, that's not really my target audience, but I don't know exactly who my target audience is, but I knew that wasn't it. But the stuff that you're talking about tonight is really giving me, like, a lot of wisdom, and I'm getting ready to have a better jump start on where I need to go. I've really been praying and asking God for direction on this. This is something that he just gave to me because even though I've always liked arts and crafts, it was always something I enjoyed as a kid. My education is totally opposite of what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, well, since I can't find a job, then I'm going to do something that I love to do. And this was it. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working at it for the last 2 years, and I've been kind of discouraged, and I've been talking to my husband, and I'm like, I don't know which way to go. And he's not real business savvy in that respect. He has some ideas, but then my husband is real practical. So it's like, yeah, but I got to do something else before I get to that point.
Sure.
I've been stuck for the longest.
Well, you know what? You have a question. Yeah, I wondered if you had, like, a specific question for Lyman because he's here to talk to you if there's something that you want to ask.
Well, I know nothing of marketing. I don't know anything about marketing. I've been researching, and what gets me is when I find a lot of information and it looks like a bunch of jargon, I'm quick to turn from it because it's like, I have no idea where this can take me, so I'll run from it.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you a simple plan. Write this down. F-A-C-E, face.
Okay.
Face is a good way of how you go about making any type of decision. I teach this on a university level. I teach this at conferences all over the country,
okay.
And it works. FACE. Whenever it comes to marketing, you want to determine what are the facts, okay? If it's a lot of information and it doesn't address the facts, and what I mean by facts, okay, what's my product? How does this, whatever this program or this person, how are they, number one, do they know anything about organic, I think you said bath and body products?
Yes, sir.
If I'm correct?
Yes.
Do they know anything about that business? Okay, that's what I mean by you gather the facts, number one. How are they going to market? What channels are they going to use? Like you said, they end up putting your products in a shoe place, and it created a conflict because, well, wait a minute, you know, how does this relate to what I'm doing? It's a disconnect. And so you want to, number one, make sure you understand all the facts. Second, you want to ask yourself, what action steps do I need to take, all right? Or if you're working with a marketing person, you're interviewing that marketing person, a firm, you need to ask them, okay, what action steps are you going to take within the next month, 3 months, 6 months to get me to here, all right?
Gotcha.
Then you want to see is, if they say, well, we're going to put you in all of the big box stores, the next question you should say is causation, which is, interesting. What caused you to go this route as opposed to another route? So you want them to validate what they're saying, and you want to look at causation. What caused you to think that my product belongs here as opposed to here?
Mm.
And then evidence. The last one is the most important, evidence. What evidence of success do you have or references that I can contact to validate what you're saying? So FACE, number one, what are the facts? Don't give me a bunch of hype. I want the facts, okay? Who, what, where? Who have you worked with? What have you done? How successful was it? Okay, what action step can you guarantee? Maybe not guarantee. Well, yeah, I'm going to say guarantee. What action step? Because an action step that guarantees what they're going to do is not necessarily going to guarantee revenue. Does that make sense?
Right.
You want them to say, they say, you know, I'm going to have your collateral material, which is your business cards, flyers, by the 15th of next month. You want to guarantee that that's going to happen. What if it doesn't happen, then what? And causation. What is the rationale? Another word for causation is rationale. What's the rationale for going this route or this distribution channel as opposed to others? If they say, listen, you need to have a website, why? Show me some evidence that support a new business. How am I going to get traffic? Because a lot of so-called marketers, they're really pushing websites. And you have spent a lot of money on a website. But if you don't understand SEO, if you don't understand internet traffic, you just have a website.
And that's what
and
I
no
have.
Traffic.
That's exactly what I have. I have a website with no traffic.
And SEO
exactly
stands for search engine optimization, by the way. SEO stands for search engine optimization.
I did find out that much. I just don't know
okay.
how it goes.
I was talking about
speaking a language that people understand. I talk about SEOs and PPOs.
Right.
And people are like, wait a minute. Wait a
minute. Right. You spoke on a lot of things that I've gone through with the family, with the friends. The family was the marketing person, had to get rid of her. Ordered some products, never paid for them, so I've had to reevaluate my policies and procedures that when you order something, you must pay for it up front. There's absolutely no going around it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you
some advice real quick on
yes.
that one policy? I want you to make a slight modification.
Okay.
And the modification that I want you to make is this. I want you to take 5% of your inventory, 5%, even 2% of the inventory. okay?
Right.
And I want you to give them away. This is what I want you to do. When you give them away, they have to write a review.
Okay.
And post it either on YouTube, or Facebook, or some type of social media review of the product or a letter or something.
Okay. Okay.
That I guarantee you will bring you a ton of business, because now you have people that can give testimonials to how well your product works, and you don't feel as if, so go back to that family member and say, even though you didn't pay for it, I need you to write me a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Does that make sense?
It kind of bad, and
okay.
She started having people put bad reviews on my fan page, so I've had to remove that part of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, but
we won't go back to her.
People. Yeah,
right.
I have some other people.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Lyman, you were going to talk about evidence of success, because we're not just talking about, I'm glad you gave her the tip, but I want you to finish out that phase when it comes to choosing someone to help you with your marketing. You are about to hit evidence of success when you're trying to get them.
Evidence of success. Thank you. Evidence of success is, do they have a track record?
Right.
Okay. Do they have, when I say a track record, it's not just simply saying, I've worked with A, B, and C, I've done this, I've done that. What you're going to ask for is, I need references. I need to see the work that you've done. All right. I need to be, you might say, for example, can you provide me, if they say, well, I've worked with 1,500 companies, you say, can you provide me with a list of 10?
Gotcha.
And what's going to happen is this. You're going to randomly call. Because if you just say, give me 3, you know what they're going to do? They're going to call their friends or whatever. And say, hey, if you get a phone call, I'm going to
call. Right, right. I got you. I'm following you. Yes.
Right. And also, and this is what you want. This is how you know. This is what you want. Send me a list of the companies you work with their website and email address and phone number. And then you're going to see if they have a website, okay, if they have a phone number, if they have a business page, and also do your due diligence. Make sure that they're registered with some type of monitoring agency, whether it be the Better Business Bureau.
Right. Now, I'm in the process of getting that type of certification, yes.
Right. So all that is important. Also, if they have a presence on the Internet, you know, when you put the name in, you know, they come up. Or
gotcha.
You have to go to page 50 before you can even find them.
Right. Right. Okay.
So all that's part of evidence of success. You want to make sure that what they are telling you, you can verify for yourself.
Okay.
And always start small. Sometimes they try to get you locked into agreements. And so I tell you what, they say, well, we need a 12-month agreement. So I tell you what, I'll be willing to do a 3-month, and we will evaluate. Because once you get locked into a 12-month, guess what, you're locked in. And you don't want to have your money tied up for 12 months with a organization or a company or an individual that you feel is not providing you adequate service. And there should be some type of clause in the agreement. How do you get out of it?
Go
you know, what happens if you always suggest go over to a company that offers a money-back guarantee.
Okay.
Now that you've said that, Lyman, I'm so glad you're talking about all of this, because what I'm going to do is in the event tonight, I'm going to post up a couple of individuals that actually offer you free consultations to talk to you about your business. One being our guest last week, Makaysha Dorsey, she told us that she makes sure she does at least 4 30-minute consultations per week. She gives away free consultations, 30 minutes, 4 of them per week, and she talks to clients about their business. She helps you do an evaluation. There's also This Needs to Be Said Media. I love Kat. Catherine, This Needs to Be Said Waddell. She also has calls. You can actually just listen in on a group call about things that you can do with your business. Mm-hmm. Ty Goodwin is another good one. I will be posting all of their links into the event, as at least four people that I know that if you just join
Let
that
me
group,
say this. Let me just say this about the Dorsey group.
Yes.
In my opinion, they helped me take my business to a level that I didn't even think it could reach. I'll be honest with you. That's just how good they are. There are others out there that are great, but I've worked with the Dorsey Group for a number of years, and I tell you, they are worth their weight in salt and gold. They're professional, and it's been a pleasure to work with them. I continue to work with them and others, but I can say, and I hope the caller will take advantage of this great information, I can say and put it on record that definitely the Dorsey Group is one of many that you should at least take a look at.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kesey, I'm just going to put you on hold just for a minute.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere.
Not a problem.
We're going to move on with the conversation and try to get some more excellent, excellent information out to you guys. I just wanted to make sure we did a recap of what he just said to the caller. He talked about FACE. The acronym is FACE. Get the facts. Know the action steps. Understand the causation and make sure that you get evidence of success when you
yes.
are talking to anyone that's supposed to be trying to help you with your marketing, and not just with, you know, people who are going that you're going to hire, but even your friends, because, you know, we have a lot of friends and group members that come together to give you advice. But you want to make sure that when they're talking to you, that they've had a certain level of success or just a certain level of knowledge that can really help you in your with your business plans.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
yeah.
we're all in business
yeah.
to make money, to be successful, and to create a legacy. And that's what
mm-hmm.
this Tribal Wisdom Show is all about, is to really talk about individuals creating legacies with the businesses that they're starting. And the reasons why they're starting their businesses is because they want to do something that they're passionate about, and they just want to do it. They love doing what they do.
Right.
Okay. So we've touched on two of the acronyms, which is great. It's great. We're doing good, if you can believe it. We're already an hour in. You know, we've already done
wow.
talk for it. I know, right? And I'm so glad we're going to talk, because I'm having fun. I'm really enjoying all the information that you
Likewise.
Are sharing with us tonight. So let's go on and get to that last acronym. I think it was called STARS. I'm going to go ahead and post
yes,
this.
Because, and I say that for last, because at the end of the day, we all want to be superstars, superstars in our business, superstars in our relationship, superstars in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And STARS is another acronym that I came up with. I'm going to tell you how I came up with it. Several years ago, when I started Lyon Montgomery Success Network, it was a Sunday night. I was looking up at the stars, and I was saying, wow, if I could command the universe, what would I do? What would I really create? And I started thinking about some ideas and came up with a network of individuals that would help others to reach their success. And it dawned on me, STARS, I like that. And I began to work with it. And what STARS stands for when you're starting a business is asking yourself a series of questions. I do this in coaching with clients that want to start a business. What situation led you to want to start a business? The caller said she lost her job. She couldn't find work. So that was the motivation or the situation that led her to say, you know what, instead of sitting here doing nothing, maybe I should do something now. So what situation led you to want to start your business or think about starting a business? The T, what tactics or strategy do you have or need to develop in order to start your business? And that's where a lot of people mess up. They don't have a real strategy. Again, it goes back to some of the foundational stuff. You know, I don't know what type of business. Is it a business or really a hobby? Do you have the time to do it? You know, people say, well, I want to start a business, but, you know, I work 12 hours a day. I'm active in church. I'm active with the kids. And I say, well, when will you have time to work on your business? Oh, I do it every third Saturday of the month. Well, guess what? You got a hobby. And that's what I'm talking about, the tactics. And then the A is action steps. What action steps are needed? And finally, what results do you hope to gain from starting a business?
Right.
And so that's what STARS is. Again, is to teach people how to think about what it is, what it's going to take to begin digging into a business.
Right.
A business model. Yes.
Let's pull it back. Let's pull it back like we did the others. I'm not going to let you get away so easy. Just, you know, throwing that little bit of out there. My listeners can't listen. So STARS is strategy, tactics. What was the A for?
Action steps.
Action steps. Go on.
Result. Right.
Result.
R was the results that you want. And does your business, will it solve a problem?
Does it solve a problem? Okay, so now let's slow it down. I wanted to let everybody know what it meant, and I know that they heard you, but it's important to me that when the listeners end this, at the end of this show, our listeners are going to go out there and do some fabulous things. They're going to come back and give you a review. They're going to say, we listened to Lyman, and I was fine. So let's talk about strategy. If it's the beginning of business, or is this if you're already in business, or can it be used in both ways?
It can be used both ways, but generally when I'm working with a client and they come in, they say, you know, I've been wrestling with this idea. I really haven't formulated. I will start out with, well, what situation, what's going on in your life that's leading you down this path to think about a business? And you get answers like, well, you know, I just received notice they're going to shut down the plant in 12 months, and I really need to start thinking about doing something else. Well, you know, I will retire in 3 years, and I'm going to retire at 52, and I'm not old enough to draw Social Security, and my pension won't be enough to support me, so I want to do something. So there's generally some type of situation that has motivated them to start thinking about a business. And then the T is tactics or strategies. What tactics or what strategy do you have or need to develop your business?
Hold on. I'm going to stop you right there because they heard what you said. But, you know, we have to make sure that there's understanding in this information that because you might not be speaking the right language. We talked about making sure that we're both speaking the right language and that we understand each other. So let's go back to the example of the flower shop. If we're discussing a strategy to begin this flower shop, give me an example of what these strategies are.
Okay. I'll give you three different strategies using the floral arrangement business or flower shop. A strategy might be, the number one strategy might be, who would be the persons most likely to visit my shop? Let's say it's a brick-and-mortar shop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's one strategy of saying, okay, my shop is surrounded by four churches, okay, a funeral home, and a hospital, all within walking distance, okay? So maybe you have a continuum of care. You know, they're born, die, everything right around you within walking distance. So you may have a strategy. Your strategy might be, I'm going to distribute once a month for free flowers to the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I might go in there and say, you know, what resident doesn't have any family members? Okay? I want to provide them with flowers for the next 2 or 3 months. Maybe you might go to the hospital and say, all new births, okay, or difficult births. You might quantify and say, you know, those who had a difficult birth and really don't have a support, I'm going to provide them with an arrangement of flowers or a plant or something, okay? That's what I mean by that's a strategy. Another strategy might be, You know, I'm going to take my van and purchase these nice little decals to put on there that says, hey, buy a flower, give a flower away. For every one arrangement that you purchase at full price, we will donate to a auxiliary or a nonprofit of your choice.
All right, strategy. Now, what is the purpose of a strategy?
The purpose of the strategy is to allow that particular company to expand and to grow and to do it in such a way that they can track. They can track their success. They can track their growth. Or if something doesn't work, most businesses fail because they don't have a strategy in place. And what I mean by that, they don't have a game plan. Another word for strategy is a game plan.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about football.
What is your game plan? What are the pros? What are the cons? What are the positives, the negatives? All of that is what goes into that game plan. It goes into your strategy.
Nice. And the purpose of the strategy.
It's the good, the bad, ugly.
It's your
plan of action.
Yes.
It is it's to help you design a pathway to success.
Yeah.
That's another way of looking at it.
Yeah.
So it's your plan of action that leads to a path of success.
I like it. To help you design
so
a path.
Yeah.
I like it.
So if you
know,
ask me, Lonnie, give me the Lon Montgomery version of the definition of strategy, I would simply say this. It is a on-purpose pathway to success with markers or breadcrumbs that you can follow.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple. It's a pathway to success. Real simple.
Well, now, since you're talking about tracking your growth, helping you design a pathway to success, being able to track your and follow your markers, create breadcrumbs so that you'll be able to go back and see how things happen.
Yes.
Because I know you're going to go back, and now you're going to get into tactics. Why don't
yes.
we talk about the needs analysis, putting together a needs analysis for your business in order to create the strategy?
Yes, all of that has to be in place. For example, when you talk about also a strategy or a pathway to success, you need to first, I tell people, you know, and this goes back to when I talk about the foundation, is there a need for your business,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that goes really skipping ahead to the last one, which is the S, is, okay, what is that business designed to do? What problem will it solve? What issues will it deal with? A person will come to me, for example, and say, you know what, I'm just sick and tired of all this crime in my neighborhood. I can't even park my car without somebody breaking into it. You know what, we need to have a security company. Hey, I got an idea. I think I'm going to start me a security company.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Right.
That,
so,
because security company is going to solve the issue of crime in an area or protecting homes or selling security equipment.
Okay.
That's part of that need. Yeah.
Right, because that's the needs analysis. You've stepped into a situation with your business. You realize that there's something missing or there's something that needs to be done. That's your needs analysis. And
right.
now your strategy is figuring out a way to do it. In a way that helps you design a path to success, as you put it. I think that is one of the best ways
yeah.
I have heard it described.
Oh, well, thank you.
It is. It's to help you design a pathway to success while tracking your growth. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to post that up somewhere on one of these walls of mine so that
thank
I can
you.
Remember that.
Thank you.
That's
yeah,
great.
And that's really what it is. That's really what it is. It's a pathway to success that you are in with breadcrumbs. Or if I was doing a business seminar, when I say breadcrumbs, it is these little check mark benchmarks that you can go back and say, did I hit the mark or I didn't?
Right. Benchmarks
and
milestones.
Along the way.
We'll get into that another time because we can end up getting deep in this conversation. Let's go to tactics. If we're breaking down tactics now, after we've put together this strategy, we now have to understand creating a tactical way of
The best definition that I can give you of tactics is think of a SWAT team. Think of the strategy is the army, okay? It was the broad plan, the broad pathway to success, all right? The Green Beret, they're tactical.
That's
okay?
The detail.
They're the detail. How do you get it done, okay? They're your Navy SEALs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're your very detailed day-to-day, I'm going to do A, B, and C, contact 15 people every week. I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock and work on this. It's the very detailed component of that plan.
Yes. That's the best way I've heard it said tonight, too. You are going to put together how you're going to get something done. So I'm going to give out free calls or, you know, free advice 6 days a week for 20 minutes. I'm going to, visit this person. I'm going to get up every day and watch CNN for a half hour to learn terminology. I'm going to, So you are literally planning what it is you're going to do in order to make your business a success. Where strategy is to help you design it, the tactic is the literal thing that you're going to do.
Yes, it's the little day-to-day footsteps, okay? When we talked about the strategy is the pathway, the tactical part are the footsteps that you take to walk along the path.
Nice. Now, I'm not even going to let you say nothing else after that. That's it. That's the one, the footsteps that you take along the path. Strategy is the pathway. Tactics is the footsteps. I love it. Now let's talk about the action step since you led right into it. Action step.
Yes. The action, you can put all this in writing. You can say, I'm going to call 15 people a day. The action step, when you actually do it. It's when you actually do it and you write the results after doing it. For example, I made 15 calls and I write down 15 names. Okay, what happened when I called John? Well, John said, I'm not interested. Okay, what happened when I called Susan? Susan said, well, I'm in a meeting. Call me back in 25 minutes. Gee, I didn't call her back in 25 minutes. I called her back an hour later. Okay, those are the action steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is the actually doing it, but also documenting what happened when you did it.
Yes, documentation. A lot of people don't realize, I'm a Trekkie. I grew up watching Star Trek, and
I still watch it.
Yes, that's true. I'm still a Trekkie, believe it or not. And you would always hear the captain say, "Captain's log," and he would give you the date. He would let you know what the situation was. He would let you know what he thought about the situation and what he felt about the situation, how he planned to manage that situation, and then he would come back later on and tell you, give you the evaluation about how it worked, why it didn't work, what he thought. Everything. So we're talking about.
I didn't even go back to say Captain's Log supplemental.
Yes. So you could have. It is so important for you to keep a log, an everyday log, of what it is that you're doing, how you're getting it done. Evaluate yourself. So you've got your objectives, you've got your strategies, and then you've got your evaluations along the way.
Yes.
It's a whole learning process, on your way to success. You're going to stumble. You know what I mean? So don't get upset. That's why you want to keep a log. You want to keep a log of your action steps so that you can evaluate.
Because at the end of the week, that's when you get to the results. At the end of the week, you're going to review those action steps. And you're going to determine, gee, did I meet my goal or not? If I didn't meet it, how far off from the mark was I? For example, if I set a goal to make 15 calls, but you know what? I got bad news that my brother was in a car accident, so I only made 7 calls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then I documented, okay, why didn't I make the call? Well, gee, your brother was in a car accident. Okay, you had to, you know, go see about your brother. But if you didn't document that, you'll look back on that a month or 2 months or a year later and say, I don't know why I only made 7 calls. That's not like me. Well, you didn't document it. You
right.
didn't keep a log of what
yes.
happened.
The captain's log, yes.
The captain's log. I like that. You didn't use the captain's log. And so that's what you want to do. You want to be able to look at your results. And when I talk about the results, it's did I meet my goal of 15 calls? Yes, no. No, why not? And so now you're going to, rather than just yes or no, open-ended, you're going to say, okay, if I didn't meet, why did I not meet my goal?
Mm-hmm.
And what do
well,
I need to
I
do?
Yes.
Right. What do I need to adjust or do different? Maybe you're calling, if you say I'm going to call 15 businesses between the times of 11 and 1, and then you say, boy, no one's over there. Hello, that's lunchtime.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Don't bother my food. Please don't touch my food or my plate.
Right.
We might have problems.
But I'll have people come to me and say, man, I've been trying to call this guy at lunch, and he's never there.
Mm-hmm.
It's lunch. It's lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh,
right.
I didn't think about that. Just because you don't go to lunch doesn't mean that a potential client or customer shares that same view of not taking a lunch.
Yeah, you know what? One of my professors, when I was in college, one of my professors used to say, one of the offices that he used to visit, and I can't remember exactly what type of office it was, but he was in business for himself. He would always make sure he would come in and speak with the assistant. It wasn't about the person that he wanted to talk to. It was about the assistant. How are you today? You look lovely today. He would sometimes drop by and bring them lunch, or he would drop by and say, can I bring you a cup of coffee? These were his tactics and action steps that he would take because when something important was happening with the boss, the assistant was more inclined to really tell him first. And for no other reason but because he was really very nice to them. Anybody else that would come in and give them problems or be nasty to them or anything like that, they were not privy to certain information. But because he was always polite, so being polite is an action step and it's a tactic. He was always polite to the assistant. So the next time he came in, she would say, you know what? So-and-so canceled their appointment this afternoon, and I would like to get you in there today. Do you have time to get in there today? And he would say, sure. You know, he was always ready. So sometimes it's the smallest thing as being polite and being cordial to the support staff of the individuals that you would like to be in partnership with. It will open up a pathway of success for you, as Wyman says.
Yes, it will. And I'm going to say it again. And let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen, sir.
You're preaching, my sister. You're preaching real good.
Thank you.
As we say back in Dayton.
All right, so now let's move on to results and solve. Did we discuss results at all?
Yes, we did. We talked about results. And I just recap real quick. Repetition is always good. Results is, did I hit the mark? If I didn't hit the mark, what happened? Why did I not hit the mark? Was there something going on in my life? Was there an interruption? And as we talked about, was I calling at the wrong time? You know, the person that said, I keep trying to call this person and during lunch, and he's never there. And I say, hello, it's lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And so once you evaluate your results, and I say you need to do this every week, you know, how well did I do? You know what, if I didn't reach hit my mark, I'm looking, because what results do, they give you, show you a pattern,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at a pattern, it's interesting, seems like every Tuesday, I'm not having success reaching people. I wonder what's going on. Maybe, you know, they're having staff meetings every Tuesday. And so you might call and get a secretary. Someone say, excuse me, what days do they have their general staff? And they say, oh, well, every Tuesday they have a mandatory meeting. And you go, hello, that's why I can never get him. That goes back to being nice to support staff.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So we touched on all those things. Now let's just go back to solve. What issue does your business solve? And for you, for who?
Yeah.
Because you know what? We neglected something that I definitely want to touch on. After we talk about solve, we can integrate it into this solve portion. You made it clear that there are personal, professional, and community branding. I don't want to get off the phone until we talk about personal, professional, and community branding, because that is where you figure out what problem does your business solve and how does your personal branding, your professional branding, and your community branding help you sell your business and become successful.
You know what? You must be a beta, Zoe, because you was reading my thoughts. Commander Troy. But anyhow, one of the things that, and you're 100% correct, we were talking about earlier in the pre-show interview about your personal brand. Your personal brand is the person that your family and your close friends know you to be. The real you, okay? Then it's professional you. The persona that we put on when we're at work trying to impress people don't care nothing about us, okay? And then there's the community you. How do people in the community, that's your church, if you're involved in civic organizations, if you're involved in a fraternity, sorority, a lodge, the problem is we try to segregate those three entities of ourselves. We try to say, well, don't judge my personal activities with my professional activities. But the problem is your personal life influences your professional life, and your personal professional life influences your community brand or your community life. And I use an example. When I was in college, I pledged a fraternity, okay? And one of the reasons that I did, I'm sorry.
I said, come on and tell on yourself. I know it's coming.
Right. And so one of the things that impressed me about this particular fraternity was their community service. What impressed the fraternity about me was that I was actively involved in the community, okay? And I was a scholar. And so they looked at my character, which was my personal. All right. They also saw me on the job. You know, I was a student worker. I worked in the Black Studies Department. And so, you know, they sent some spies over there to check me out to see how I acted on the job. Mm-hmm. And when I went in the interview, one of the things they said, you know, you are a man of character. You carry yourself well in business. And you're actively involved in the community. And we want you to be a part. I became a member of the Squires Club and being led to the Crescent Club. And next thing you know, I was a full-fledged member of the great blue and white family.
I knew you were going to tell it. Now, you know, I want you to tie
you
that
know.
In. Yes, yes. I want you to tie that in with the S. Of stars, about being able to solve a problem, because I understand, you know, to my understanding, it doesn't matter what problem your business solves. If you don't have a good standing in your personal, professional, or community life, no one is going to want to buy from you.
Good example. Great example. I mean, you could pick from any. Iran, years ago, because of financial mismanagement, the company no longer exists. But if you look a month prior to the Iran scandal, they were getting praise all over the Internet. They had won the Points of Lights Award. They were champions of this cause. A day after the scandal broke, guess what? They were running for the hills. Because they knew an indictment would come.
That's right.
And that's where, again, you look at financial institutions, where a president of a corporation embezzled money, ruined the reputation of that company because of an individual's personal life. You know, we can talk about politics. I think right now you have, three governors, former governors and mayors facing criminal charges because of their personal acts that now influence their professional act, which has destroyed their community involvement. And we're looking at the former mayor of New Orleans, was hailed as a champion during the Katrina crisis.
Right.
Now looking at 20 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's not to bring an indictment. I'm just saying when people accuse you, and he has not been tried in the court of law, so I'm not saying he's guilty or innocent, but I'm just saying how bad publicity can put a smudge on one's professional, personal, and community brand.
Yes. Now, I interviewed another young lady last year, Cheryl Pullins. I think it was her who said it. She said, "You cannot be a rock star in the world until you're a rock star in your own neighborhood."
I like that.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
I thought it is so true. And when I think about it, I was like, wow, sometimes we do things, and when we start our businesses, we really think about how it's going to make an impact on the larger community, which is the world, when people in your own community don't even know who you are. So if you really want to become a rock star in the world, you have to be a rock star in your own community first. Let them become your ambassadors to your business. And I think that mostly works with musicians. When there's a musician that comes from a particular community and they've been performing in particular pubs or night spots, everybody in the community knows about them, and then when they hit it big, it's like, we already knew, and you got to go see them, and you got to buy tickets, and so you definitely want to make sure that you have an understanding of your brand within your personal, professional, and your community life.
And your community, yes, because at the end of the day, you either add value to someone, or you will take away value from someone, or that perceived value. And oftentimes I say perceived value is more important than actual value, because one's perception of you is hard to change. Once someone develops a negative or a bad perception of someone, you can present mountains of evidence to the contrary, and they say, it's just something about him I don't like. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. But, your currency just dropped. The value in your currency just dropped in your branding.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
so I talk about
at the opening of the show.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying that at the beginning of the show, we said you are a representative of your business, and you need to add value and understand credibility. So you just kind of brought it full circle where you talked about adding value and understanding your credibility based on your perception.
Amen. You're right. Because at the end of the day, all you have is your credibility.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to end up, because we're already an hour and a half in. I told you it was going to go. I knew it was. I'm not surprised. Yes. I'm not upset at all about this show, because I know that it's going to be so useful to so many people, that you're going to help so many people. I'm so grateful that you came on. Now, I want you to tie it up now. We're going to close out maybe in the next 5 or 10 minutes, depending on how you put this, because one of the principles that you talked about was stretch when it came to your goals. Stretch to maximize your abilities. Don't just meet your goals. Get into something that's going to stretch you. Let's get into that, and then we're going to close this out.
I'm so glad that you mentioned stretch. We were talking with every year a group of us get together and we write down our annual goals. And we look at those goals, and we look for them, and we used to say, you know, we wanted goals that were smart. We wanted them to be specific. We wanted them to be measurable. We wanted to be attainable. We wanted to be realistic, and we also wanted to be truthful, okay? Or some people say tangible. But we wanted to be smart. And we changed the S to, we want a goal that will stretch us. In other words, we wanted to have a goal that we would look at and say, man, it's going to take faith and some work and some help to pull this off.
Yes, I know that makes me think of working out because, you know, you got to work out that
really
muscle.
Does. You got to stretch. You got to, you know, you got to stretch those tendons and those muscles.
Mm-hmm. And as much
you know,
as
you just can't jump down there and do the splits.
No, you're going to cause yourself a lot of heartache and pain.
You're going to hurt yourself, as we say. And so that's when we start having goals that will stretch you, that will cause you. This is how you know if you have a goal that will stretch you. Mm-hmm. If you look at your goal and you say, oh, I can achieve that, no problem. Then you know what? That's not a stretching goal. That's not a goal that's going to stretch you. If you look at that goal and you say, well, it's going to cost me probably about 3 days of no sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to have to hire an assistant. Now we're stretching.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Man, I may even have to cut back on something else, but the payoff is worth it.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about with stretching is, and I like the example you gave with exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to require a lot of work, but the benefits at the end is worth it.
Absolutely. I can say personally, doing this radio show was a stretch for me because, you know, it's so true. I am the type of person that prefers to be behind the scenes. I want to be working on the computer. I want to be writing everything down. I want everybody else to do the execution of stuff. Let me just sit back and do the planning because, you know, that's just what I really like doing. So when I was presented with the idea of actually doing this show, I was like, you got to be out of your mind. If you think that I'm going to get on some radio and talk and, you know, and all the other stuff. And it really took some convincing. I actually, another friend of mine, she had a radio show, and she said, I tell you what, I want you to come on and do the show with, you know, I went kicking and screaming, but I went. There was a lot of kicking and screaming that day, and then even after that, she had me come on a couple of more times, and then finally, you know, a couple of my friends said, no, you're ready. You really have to do it. And as uncomfortable as it was, I started to do it, and then I did it in a way, like you said, it was about creating a strategy and doing something that I enjoy doing, which is learning. So for me, it was about bringing on individuals that I could really learn something from. This is a learning platform. Tribal Wisdom is really about sharing the wisdom, and it's not for my listeners. It's for me. You know what I mean? So I completely understand what you say. It really stretched me, and the results are great. I'm so glad that I was able to interview people like you, people like Makaysha Pache. You know, when you come on, you give so much to not just me but to the listeners, and the benefits completely outweigh the fear that I was in, you know, the stark raving mad fear that was going to stop me from doing
Let me share something with you that you may not have known. I was a kid that suffered with a horrible speech impediment.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I spent probably the first 6 or 7 years of my life in intensive speech therapy. I could not speak.
Mm-hmm.
And now to get paid to travel the country to speak, it took a lot of stretching, of building one's confidence, the inner stage. And now my son said, Dad, they pay you to run your mouth?
That's excellent. That's excellent. Well, you know what? You put that together so well. Like I said, I'm going to get ready to close the show, but not before inviting you back. Lyman, you have to come back on the show sometime this year.
It will be my pleasure. I've had a lot of fun.
Yay. Excellent. Excellent. So, you know, to my tribers out there, I hope that you really enjoyed this show. I know that I did. If you did, Lyman, do you have, how can people get in contact with you? Do you have a Facebook page, a business page?
Yes. Yes, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You can go to my website. It's my name, lymontgomery.com. Real simple. You just put my name in, L-Y-M-A-N, Montgomery, and all my stuff will come up. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And
what is your Facebook business page?
Shattered Mask, the name of my book, Shattered Mask, or Lyman, going to have two, Lyman Montgomery and also Shattered Mask.
Okay, you know what? I'm definitely going to go in and find your page and post
yeah.
it. In the group so that people will be able to find you. I encourage all of you to please, please visit his page. Visit the pages of all my guests this month. They have so much that they have to share. I see that one of the listeners said, I just sent him a friend request. Woohoo! You are truly awesome. Awesome. You really made an impact on the listeners tonight, and I'm so, so happy that you did. I want to encourage all of our listeners to really, really go ahead. It is January. It is 2014. Let's really work together to get down to business. Let's get this business moving and going. Let's talk about money matters. Let's talk about public relations. Let's talk about being encouraged, as Lyman puts it. He's in training, development, and coaching to really put yourselves out there to start your family businesses, to do what it is that you have passion for. So, once again.
Tell your friend, Ms. Reynolds, thank you. We're now connected.
Yes. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm so happy. Yay. All right, all right. So, once again, I'm going to go ahead and post all of the links into the event tonight. I hope you do go by and stop by all of the individuals that we talked to this month. This is the last Wednesday where we're going to be talking about getting down to business. I sure hope that you guys are encouraged, that you enjoyed yourself, that you got something out of it, and that you really get out there and do it. And let me know. Do me a favor. Like he said, I want some reviews. I want some reviews from you guys. If you really enjoyed the show, let us know. And when you start your business, let us know. Let Lyman know how he helped you, because I'm sure that he would really appreciate that.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, all right. So we're going to close out tonight. You know that I am Cynthia Williamson. I am your host of Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. We are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. We are so happy that you were able to join us tonight. Join us next month. Of course, it's the month of February, so it's all about love. We're going to give y'all something to talk about, and it's going to be love. Trust me, we've got some things coming down the pike for you guys, including we are taking Tribal Wisdom to video the third week of February. We're going to be talking about the spark. We're going to do a special video called The Spark. You are all invited to join us on Spreecast for this conversation. Well, we want to know, what is the spark? What, that thing that happens between two people that makes them want to know a little bit more about each other. It makes them want to stay together. And sometimes it wanes and it makes you just want to leave. So we're going to talk about, what is the spark? How do you maintain it? How do you lose it? And can it be reignited? If you want to be a part of that, please let me know. I'm going to be posting it all over. And you are absolutely, absolutely invited. So enjoy your night. We love you. Come back and listen to us next week, next Wedding Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. We look forward to it, and we love you. Good night.